The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-ear audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 4th of March 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market tanked. The S&P ASX 200 down 1.9%. That's its second worst day since April last year. We'll have the details with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management in a few moments. But a lot of it has to do with expectations. Global interest rates may now not fall as fast as first thought, as the war in the Middle East threatens the supply of oil, which continues to push up prices, threatening to stoke inflation. It would appear, however, Australia's economy was travelling along quite well in the lead up to all this volatility. The ABS says GDP expanded by better than expected 0.8% in the December quarter, which is a little below market expectations, but to be 2.6% larger than a year ago. Now, in fact, that is above market expectations, not below, above market expectations, and slightly ahead of what the RBA had forecast, and the strongest annual result in almost 3 years. Investment in data centres, surging beef exports, along with concerts and sporting events supported the economy. High commodity prices, particularly for gold, boosted mining profits, while building and government spending on infrastructure and defence helped. But what does this all mean for inflation and interest rates at a time the RBA is keeping a close eye on the Middle East? For that, I spoke to Harry Murphy-Cruz from Oxford Economics to find out. Harry, Australian GDP has come in stronger than expected. What does it say about the economy and what's driving it?
Yeah, we had a really solid Q4 print there. So beat our expectations, certainly beat what the RBA was expecting. That was built up a few things. We had businesses that continued to spend. We had household spending that was solid. We had a still solid chunk of public sector demand as well. So kind of on face value, you go, great, the economy's growing strongly, momentum's building. You think that's a positive. For the RBA, though, it's probably too much of a good thing, where we're seeing these private firms, households, the government sector all kind of fight for the same resources. That builds capacity constraints, and that can then be a real sticky factor for inflation.
Okay, before we go into more details about what you think the RBA is going to do, what about that all-important productivity sign? Any signs of an improvement there?
Not really, I suppose. It was flat through the quarter. It's up about 1% from a year ago, but we're still no productive than where we were before the pandemic. That's a real kind of, I suppose, struggle for the Aussie economy. The good news is that we've got businesses that are investing a little bit more than they have for a while. That can be a driver of productivity growth. But really, we need to see some broader reforms in the economy. And I think we're starting to see a bit more of that conversation start around what the May budget looks like, because that can then potentially be a driver of productivity reforms.
I know we can't necessarily take the Middle East factor out, because no doubt that'll be weighing on the RBA when it meets in a couple of weeks' time. But how will this GDP data weigh on the RBA, and could it trigger a rate rise in March?
So the RBA, they hiked in February. Everything that we've got then suggests that price pressures continue to build. So we've got that January inflation print that was hotter than expected. We've got, this national accounts data, which suggests that the economy is expanding at a pretty good trot. All that points to more rate hikes to come. Our base case is that comes in May. The main reason is that historically the RBA has liked to wait for the big quarterly data for inflation before moving. We get that at the end of April. Makes sense then to wait until May to hike. But given everything that's occurring, if we're chatting again in a couple of weeks' time after the RBA meeting this month and they're hiked, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, as I mentioned, though, we've got the war in the Middle East on top of this, on top of what the RBA has to consider. The RBA governor said yesterday it's still early to count the cost on the Australian economy. What we are seeing, though, is investors sell down stocks around the world, and Australia's ASX 200 down quite significantly today. What do you think, and what is your base case scenario?
It kind of hits the Aussie economy in a few ways. So to start with the direct impact, how much do we trade with the Gulf region, imports and exports? It's not a lot. So that direct impact is pretty minimal for Australia. The bigger impact is kind of indirectly through oil prices and confidence. So oil prices, they're going to be higher than they otherwise would be. We have them averaging close to $80 a barrel through this quarter. That flows through into Aussie inflation directly, the, you know, what households are paying at the pump, also indirectly through the cost of doing business with higher shipping costs, higher manufacturing costs. So we're seeing inflation slightly higher than it otherwise would be. The counter to that is the hit to confidence. You've got businesses that are uncertain. We're seeing that in stock prices at the moment. You've got households that are going to be weighed down by this uncertainty as well. So it probably detracts a little bit from the economic outlook over the next couple of quarters as well. Those two things kind of broadly cancel each other out. The other side is then what happens with gas prices. In Australia, we're a net exporter of gas. Prices are rising pretty sharply there. That's going to help miners in that area, but also
to 8,901. That is the second worst one-day fall since April last year, with $63 billion wiped off the index. All 11 sectors on the index down, materials and property the worst. Gold producers a big drag, Newmont off by 6.3%. The miners also lost ground as the iron ore price declined, BHP off 3.5%, Fortescue down by 3%. The big four banks down across the board. Endeavour Group losing 3.5% after it reported a 17% decline in half-year profit. And ARN Media rose 4.4% despite pulling the Kyle and Jackie O show off the air. We'll tell you why in a few moments. Oil up another 4%, meaning it's gained 18% since the weekend following the rise of the war in the Middle East. So for the details of the day's market action, I spoke with Niv Dagan. He's the executive director at Peak Asset Management.
We've seen a lot of volatility, Ricardo, on the back of obviously some geopolitical issues across the board. GDP in Australia was better than expected. We'll come back to that later. But across the board, it is risk off at the moment. Obviously, oil prices are increasing, and that puts a lot of inflationary risk. So that could have a negative impact on interest rates in the short term.
How exactly are these events impacting the markets? Because oil, as expected, has surged and has continued to climb. But today, gold's taken a fair bit of a beating.
Yeah, we saw the US dollar have a really, really strong uplift overnight. I mean, the Dow Jones was down about 1,300 points at one stage, finished down about 300 points, but our market's down about 170 points as we speak. Gold prices have been heavily hit. So gold at the moment is down about 7%. Silver's down about 8.5%, and there's base commodities across the board being sold off. So really across the board, it is risk off at the moment.
You touched on those GDP figures. They came in stronger than expected. I spoke in detail about it with an economist from Oxford Economics, Harry Murphy Cruz. So we don't need to go into details about the actual number, but how has it changed, if at all, the market's pricing from imminent interest rate rise from the Reserve Bank?
Yeah, so GDP came in at 0.8%, which was higher than expected. I mean, but remember, Ricardo, GDP is a backward-looking indicator. So the key really is unemployment, consumer confidence, business confidence, which are leading indicators across the board, and really about consumer spending. I think that is really critical overall over the next few months. Interest rates, we feel, unfortunately, will rise as oil prices and inflationary pressures starts to really bite. So that's something that we are going to keep a very close eye on.
One company story I'd like to talk about, if we can, shares of ARN Media, which owns a Sydney radio station, Kiss FM. They rose today, but they've been on a downward slide for the past 6 months or so. And that increase in its share price today comes despite taking off the air its long-running and successful Kyle and Jackie O show after one of its very highly paid stars quit following unworkable conditions with one of her co-presenters. Why do you think investors reacted this way today?
Yeah, look, the company's been under significant pressure. So it's fallen from around 500 million market cap down to around 104 million market cap as we speak. So it's been under significant pressure across the board. Look, it was a $200 million contract across, you know, so which is two times the size of its market capitalization. So maybe the market's saying, well, hang on a second. We don't need to spend $200 million on a $100 million market cap, and we can basically utilize those funds elsewhere. And we've seen a bit of a pickup in the stock price today, which has been a tough day.
And finally, what are you telling your clients and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, it's all about being defensive at the moment. Obviously, commodities across the board have been sold off. We've seen the retailers, I mean, BHP was down about 3.5%, Rio down 0.9%. The banks have been sold off across the board about 1.7 and 1.8 for NAB and CBA, respectively. We actually think that oil prices will come off, and we feel that this may be a quicker, essentially, pace to get to the US achievement. So if that's the case, we are looking at seeing the next sell-off if markets do continue to sell off as a buying opportunity for riskier assets. And those are the paying high dividends and some of the beaten up miners and the banks. We are looking for opportunities.
It's Niv Dagan there from Peak Asset Management.
You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-ear audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman.